Greetings and salutations. Welcome to the Agile Revolution podcast. I'm Tony Ponton.
Hi, Renee Troughton here.
And hello, Craig. Oh.
He's coming, Tony.
He's missing.
Yeah, he'll be here soon.
He will be?
Yep.
Okay, well, we have a special seat for him. It's nice and red.
It's the hot seat.
It's the hot seat. That does mean he has to wear his pants though, right?
Hopefully always.
Right, so we started off on a wonderful note. How are you today, Renee?
I'm excellent.
Great, so we're going to be discussing some of the wonderful things that are happening out there in the Agile and the Lean world.
Yep, so well. I found an interesting post. In fact, the website itself is really quite interesting. It's called neverworkintheory.com. So it's a website that has a whole pile of proven cases of certain things working or certain theories working. So this particular article is talking about test-driven development. So the article is called Realizing Quality Improvement Through TDD. And it sort of walks through a number of case studies to show what the outcomes of some actual testing against test-driven development went.
Wow.
So, you know, to go to the case studies in itself, the results that they found were some pre-release defect density of the four products decreased by 40 to 90% relative to similar products that were not using the TDD practice. So then the number of defects decreased by 40 to 90%.
I think it's interesting that somebody's bothered to actually do a study and validate it, because I think for those that have done TDD, and have employed it at a good level, they know that the benefit is there.
Yeah.
But I think that it's interesting that somebody's actually managed to put something out there that actually validates it for a change.
Yeah. Now, I mean,
and scientifically, but
four products is probably not a very large
scale of
a test. You know, you'd want to hope that you'd be in the range of hundreds to actually test whether it's a valid assertion or not, but, you know, it's a start. It's better than nothing.
And I think our number one fan would be happy to hear that, being a TDD, BDD exponent.
The hot seat fan.
No, Mr. Sellers.
Oh.
Oh, yeah. Don't forget Mr. Sellers out there. Big call out to at Peter Sellers. Oh, and by the way, he's getting married. He should be getting married very shortly.
Should be happening any moment now.
Any moment now.
The other thing is that teams experienced a 15 to 35% increase in the initial development time after adopting TDD.
So my experience with that, it's a shame that the hot seat man's not here, because he's done a fair bit of it as well. I often find with TDD that there's a very big incremental increase. So the trouble with when you first put TDD into inexperienced teams is that in the beginning, you don't see the benefits, and it takes a while to build. Now, the problem with that is that inexperienced project managers and inexperienced developers get frustrated, and they want to see their payback quickly. They don't understand that there's an incremental growth in that, where all of a sudden it reaches that tipping point.
Yeah, exactly right. So it's not only that, it's also the fact that you're changing someone's behavioral practice as well. So it takes time for people to get used to that. It'll take them longer to do whatever they're doing as well. So, you know, whilst they're saying there's an initial increase of 15-35%, I was really curious about long term, was there an increase or not?
I believe so. Having you know, worked on a couple of long term projects where we actually put those in place. So, you know, there was one that speaks to mind, which was a 2-year project, a web based project, and I have to say, while we were skilling and bringing everybody up to it, and as you said, changing their behaviour, and it was a big behaviour curve change for these people, you certainly didn't see the benefits. But I would say after that 6 months, everybody agreed that all of a sudden we had reached that tipping point, and they started to see the benefit for it.
Yeah.
By the time we were into the second phase, which was the 2-year phase, not only was it a given behaviour, you could see people saying, this is so much easier, and, oh, yeah, I'll just go back to that test, you know, those tests that I've already put in, and I can just check. And the whole thing was just ticking along nicely.
Okay. So that's all I wanted to talk about with that particular article. You have anything?
Well, mine's a little bit of an offbeat one, I guess, but it's called The Truth About Sleep and Productivity.
Ah.
So,
yeah.
So it was by a lady called Margaret Heffernan, inc.com. But there's some really good outtakes, and some of it's not rocket science stuff, it's stuff that we all know, but I think I like the some of the phrases in it. Working overtime doesn't increase your output, it makes you stupid.
Yes.
Which she then goes on to talk about, you know, how often the key to the productivity really is sleep, and to give you some metric around that, which is interesting.
Okay, yeah.
But one of the interesting things that, why it struck a note with me, and I sort of tied it back to an Agile podcast, is it's interesting that when I've walked into a couple of teams, I've seen instances of where these teams are being rewarded for working overtime.
Oh.
Hey, you're our number one performer. Have a trophy. You worked overtime.
Yep, so obviously sustainable pace is key here, right?
Absolutely.
But I've also seen an article recently that was talking about sustainable pace, and they were saying whilst the working hours were 37 and a half or 40 hours a week, this particular person kept being called by their boss at night. And so they still ended up being stressed because they were getting these phone calls or these emails in the middle of the night.
Yeah, the reality of it is, you know, that person obviously working overtime, in a lot of instances, is doing it because they're trying to get it over the line, right?
Yeah.
However, that sort of incrementally makes this culture of everybody who wants to keep working this overtime.
Yeah.
And you reward them for that. They don't go looking for the solutions or the root cause.
Yeah, it's about working smarter, not harder.
Exactly right. And sometimes if you walk into teams, there's also, and I'm not saying this is all the time, but sometimes there's also that culture of, well, we can work overtime, get a few extra dollars in the pocket, or we can get a bit of, so I won't push myself to get it over the line.
Right.
So that for me is a problem as well. So this is why this sort of struck a chord. She backs it up with some very interesting statistics, some studies by Ernst & Abbe and the Zeiss Lens Laboratories. And, you know, some of their studies were really around, you know, 40 hours a week, we're all pretty productive, but after that, we can't become less able to deliver reliable, cost-effective work. And you know, the big why, well, because when we get tired, we make mistakes.
Yeah. Well, the other thing is, I think quite commonly when you get into that panic mode of running late, a lot of people tend to get less focused on how they're working and more focused on just getting through it, if that makes sense. And I don't think they see the woods for the trees, really.
Absolutely. So where I tie this back into an Agile type lens is, you know, one of the things that we try to do is to make sure that teams are working at a sustainable pace.
Yep.
They're working smarter, not harder.
Yep.
Yeah. And one of the statements that she has here really tied back to that for me. And it really says that what matters isn't how many hours your team puts in, but the quality and the quantity of work that they produce.
Definitely, yeah.
And so, you know, again, here's the thing that we, and I think when I've walked in a lot of Agile projects and coached through them, the one of the big things, and again, Mr. Hot Seat would be jumping up and down to have a say here, bad luck, build quality in.
Yeah.
Yeah, so they miss that piece about building the quality in.
Do you think that's because a lot of people have focused less on software craftsmanship with this sort of moving away from XP, or...?
I think craftsmanship is a big piece. You know, I've had that conversation with a couple of people over the periods of time. I think if you talk around the traps, I think the craftsmanship piece has been lost a lot now. I don't know how you feel about it having walked around.
I tend to hear software craftsmanship being used as a replacement word for XP.
Interesting. I know that, and again, you know, obviously he's a poster boy of mine, but I know that Alistair Coburn does talk about craftsmanship a lot.
Yeah.
But I don't believe he uses it as an excerpt for XP.
No.
But he does see the importance of craftsmanship.
The way I relate it is to Dan Pink's work, and he talks about mastery. Without a doubt, we as Agileists don't focus enough on developers being good developers. We have all these practices and processes, and it sort of seems a little anti-manifesto to me. And yet they've got this core skill, the ability to code and to code smartly, and we need to make sure that they're still focused on that at the end of the day.
Yeah, and allowing them to do that is giving them that sustainable pace.
Yeah.
Delivering incrementally and doing it well. And I think, you know, if you read further through this post, as usual, we'll put it up on the show notes, but there's some good facts here that say, you know, after 24 hours of sleep deprivation, there's an overall reduction of 6% in glucose reaching the brain. Renee, that's why we crave donuts and candy, apparently.
Mm.
Yeah, and if you ever pull an overnighter, they're essential.
Mm.
So, but you know, that loss isn't shared equally. So, you know, apparently your parietal lobe and your prefrontal cortex lose 12 to 14% of their glucose. So they're the bits that really drive your cognitive thinking.
Okay.
So that's pretty interesting too.
It probably explains why so many people that are sleep, well, not sleep deprived, but working too much and actually not sleeping enough, have a bit of some weird ideas.
Well, that's true. And I think the last point for me that I dragged out of this whole thing was she went on to say that she'd sat through many boardrooms and through many development teams where they've done seriously bad deals because they've been there for hours overnight.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So, you know, bad tempers, bad diets, bad decision, loss of productive work and discussions that could have been less heroic and a lot more valuable.
Yeah, I remember my first IT project and the project manager and the architect did an all-nighter to do something like a 200-line Gantt chart, which was the project plan, without any buy-in. And it was just, at the end of the day, it was crazy.
Interesting.
So I've only got some quotes. Do you have any other articles that you would like to talk to?
No, I've got some little quotes for you. You feel free, because the man in the hot seat hasn't arrived. Shall we just talk to him for a moment, Craig?
He's bus.
Craig, how do you think you're going?
I've had a text. His bus is delayed.
Oh, I was talking to him.
Yeah, he's at Southbank, just stuck.
Okay. Well done, Craig.
Thank you.
Good. Oh, yeah. He agreed completely with my point about quality.
Yeah, excellent. So two really nice quotes. One's from our founder. When confronted with best practices, ask yourself, who is it best practice for?
Ooh, I like our founder, actually. Yes, I like something that's great. Kudos out there to our founder. I like some of the tweets that you sent out.
Tons of hashtags after it. So, you know, he's putting the joke out there about Six Sigma, Lean, Kanban, PK Flow, which I'm not quite sure what it is.
Yeah.
Have you heard of that?
Yeah.
What is PK Flow?
I haven't delved into it, but I've seen a lot of people commenting on it. I'm one of those things I've meant to go and say, I'm going to go and have a read of this.
Yeah, we better go have a look at it.
It's a bit like Kanban when it first came out. Everyone went, oh, yeah, I've heard of it. What is it?
Yeah, okay. Agile and Scrum. So, you know, what are those practices best for? Doesn't mean that you're necessarily going to apply one particular practice wholeheartedly to everything.
You know what? I'm going to go on a rant now because I am so tired of it at the moment. I am so tired of this Kanban versus Agile versus Lean versus Scrum. Guys, wake up to ourselves as a community. If we don't sort out, somebody's going to eat our lunch. And you know what I mean by that? The very reason that Agile was created was because we weren't doing things well. The very reason that the whole group got together and brought all these practices together was because it wasn't working. It wasn't just because it was old and decrepit and it had been doing the same things over and over in time. It was because they were looking for a better way to do things, right? And if we keep doing this fragmentation as a community, then somebody else is going to come along and eat our lunch and come up with something new. That's history. So that's my little rant. Really, what's Agile about? For my money, it's taking the best practices and putting them together. And if you've got a toolkit of them, whether it be Lean, whether it be Kanban, whether it be Agile, use them. Who's to say the waterfall things were bad? There are some very useful practices in waterfall. There are some very useful practices in a lot of the different disciplines. And if they suit your toolkit for what you're doing at the time, then use them.
Yep, so
make
sure that you're asking the questions
exactly.
To know what the environment is that you're trying to deal with and what the problem is that you're trying to fix and look at what tools you have to resolve that problem.
Yes. There you go. You haven't had a rant from me for a while, have you?
Wow.
You fired me up. You know, it's just all this stuff that's been going backwards and forwards, you know, the Kanban community versus the Scrum community and so on. I just got a bit tired of it in the end.
I know we've talked about it, and the Oath of Non-Allegiance fits in really well with this, but for me, if I was going to give it a word, it would be unbound.
Yeah.
Don't tie yourself down to a methodology. Be unbound.
Absolutely. Unbound agility. What could you say about that?
Okay, moving on. Do you have a quote?
Well, it's sort of a series of quotes. There's this natty little post out there from Peter at agilescout.com, mm-hmm. that we all like, Peter Sattigan. I don't think he actually put it together. I think William Gill put it together, but it's Agile as a Cult, Follow the Five Ways and Be Saved.
Cool, let's hear it.
Which is quite, you are one of the chosen, with a natty little screen of fire and ice and the blue screen of death. You will read the Bible, go to church and believe in God or you will go to hell, period. Secondly, the founding fathers are your gods, respect them and prosper.
Right. So we are occultists, is that right?
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Okay.
So you will honour and respect the Agile founding fathers. The more often you can use this image in a presentation about Agile, the better. And so it shows a whole bunch of the founding fathers together.
Like it's the round table for...
Yeah, absolutely. Have a look at that one.
Oh, it's, okay.
Oh, no, I don't know. I've gone and blanked it out. So there's quite a few. I could keep going. You will respect the sacred parchment and the laws, and you can gather what the sacred parchment would be.
The
manifesto is the artifact that serves to both prove the validity and authenticity of our beliefs and also lay down the ground rules for how your soul will be saved.
Okay, so the general gist is it's a really nice piss take.
It is. It's
on ourselves, and it's basically saying, just don't take yourselves so seriously.
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah, it was nothing more and nothing less. I can imagine a few purists might read that and get a bit toey about it, but read it in the gist that it's meant. It is really meant in quite a humorous stream with a little bit of seriousness there about, hey, dudes, some of us do get a bit carried away and take ourselves way too seriously. When it all comes down to it, what we're talking about here isn't something that's saving people's lives. There aren't people, you know, flooding.
But it could be, no, I mean, it is potentially saving people's mental stability here.
Okay, I'll go with that. Yeah. I'll go with that. You know, it's not stopping
people. And that means a lot to some people.
Well, especially us in this particular room. How about you, Craig? Yeah. He's definitely having a problem there.
So next up I have a tweet that came from Lozenges and backtracks through to a particular website called fastcompany.com in a post that said, make room at the meeting table for your customer. And the tweet was, transparency is like a disinfectant for business. It will purify things and help start the healing, but at first it's going to sting like hell.
I like that.
And the beautiful thing is you can apply that to so many different things, even governance around Agile. It's sort of like no one ever wants governance. But it will help purify things, it'll help start it out, and it is going to sting like hell.
Well, I like it. That's very nice. What do you think, Craig? You didn't make much of a comment on that.
Yeah.
No. Oh, well. Well, I'm a little bit tapped out for quotes today. What else have you got for us, Renee?
So we're going to talk a little bit more about Stress, which committed to that last week.
We did.
Have you checked it out?
I have.
Okay, so for those who are unfamiliar with Stress, it was a group of people, as I mentioned last podcast, that met together in early January. There is a LinkedIn group for it called Stress. It has gained over 500 people in 1 month as a LinkedIn group, which is pretty bloody huge.
Cool.
So Stress is a focus at management. I'm just going to read out the key statement that's on their website of www.stressnetwork.org. Reflecting on leadership in organisations today, we find ourselves in a bit of a mess. We see reliance on linear, mechanistic thinking, companies focusing more on stock price than delighting customers, and knowledge workers whose voices are ignored by the bosses who direct them. All these factors are reflected in the current economic crisis, increased inequity, bankruptcies, and widespread disillusionment. There has to be a better way. In January 2012, a diverse group of 21 people, including senior executives, business strategists, managers, academics, and lean agile development practitioners from four continents met in Stuss, Switzerland. We believe that we uncovered some of the common characteristics of that better way. For example, that organisations can become learning networks for individuals creating value, and that the role of leaders should include the stewardship of the living rather than the management of the machine.
Very idealistic.
Yeah.
I would say.
So that's the opening statement of Stuss. There's a number of different posts that have happened subsequent to that, talking about the outcomes that they had of those particular workshops. And what they've got to have to go. So the goals and the outcomes, you know, what's interesting is they talked about the actual problem itself. They had a really nice problem map around what is the root cause of this particular problem. The initial statement that they had going into the workshop is, at the STUS gathering, we'll discuss how to accelerate change in management and organisational transformation. So at the heart, what they're saying is the information is out there. There's tons and tons of books written about how to be a good leader. Why aren't people being good leaders? What's the cause of this problem? How can we make sure that we are transitioning to an environment whereby there's less command and control?
What's the root cause?
What's the root cause? But how can we fix that root cause?
It's interesting. I'm not going to comment for the moment being.
Okay.
Continue.
Okay. So they've talked about the problem. They had a look at the future. Their idealized future is organizations can become learning networks of individuals creating value, and the role of leaders should include the stewardship of the living rather than management of the machine. Do you like that term, stewardship of the living?
Yeah, that was very perturbing for me when I read that.
Okay.
You know, I had to read through it about two or three times till I really had it settled in my mind. And my thought about that is that it made me think, but I'm not sure as a catch cry that that's going to be too accepted worldwide for that very reason. What do you think?
Which,
I get what they're saying.
Yeah.
What I mean, management of the living.
You think it's too fuzzy?
I do.
It's not management, it's stewardship.
Or stewardship of the living, sorry, yes. But it's the living thing, I think.
What I like about the word stewardship, though, is that it's indicative of a temporary state.
Yeah, I get that. It's the living piece versus the machine piece. That, it doesn't ring home. You have to stop and think about it.
Okay.
I mean, let me
put it in context of Lean. I mean, Lean says it's a machine, right? At the end of the day, there's a process, there's a flow. But beyond that, it's saying like one of the number one values is around people. Is that correct?
That's right.
So which is higher, people or process in Lean?
It's actually people.
Right.
Right, respect for people, right? The process is just the way you achieve. Actually, it's the principle. It's much the similar to Agile, right?
Mm.
Your principles and your values are your compass that guide you to the true north.
Yep.
So anytime you're unsure of what practices you should be or processes you should be employing, I said processes, I've been hanging around too long. Processes. Anytime you're doing that and you're not sure, what do you refer back to or what should you refer back to? Your principles and your values. They're the compass that drives you to your true north. It's the same in Agile.
Yeah.
It should be your values and your principles that drive your practices, right? Okay. Does that happen always? Not necessarily.
So the tie in the association between STUS and Agile and Lean is extremely strong.
Oh, definitely. I'm not disagreeing with it. But if you ask me about that statement, yeah. That living...
No, yeah, that's fine.
It's.
I just wanted to get it out there that, you know, for people going, well, what is STUS and how is it related? Well, I saw a couple of tweets go by and I sort of responded directly to people, but we talk about the different groupings of the way in which we work. And I know for some organisations, they use Agile for project delivery, they use Lean for operational excellence, yeah. And they use leadership as a means to bind them all together.
Absolutely.
So you sort of need to look at it in a more holistic perspective, and I think, you know, without a doubt, you know, we focused a little bit on leadership in Lean and Agile, but, you know, there's probably quite a lot of work there that hasn't been done.
Yeah, look, I'm a fan of the STUS idea, unabashedly a fan, and I think it has a lot of merit. The one thing I worry about with it is it's at the moment, it's still a little bit fractured for me.
Mm.
The framework is still a little bit loose, and I think they need to tighten all of that up, and they need to do it quite quickly.
Yeah, I mean,
because there's a small window of opportunity, as you know, with this type of environment.
And I have to admit that is probably my greatest concern. I like the idea of STUS, mm-hmm. and where it wants to go, but I am anxiously worried about some of the information and all the lack of it. So they've talked about where they need to go, they need to have a name, they need to work out their stakeholders, they need to work out who the change agents are, all these sorts of things. And I'm going, okay, well that's great, but who's doing it? Because there's no one actually writing a post out there saying, all right, let's get on top of this, guys, let's get a working group together for it.
Yeah.
And it's quite interesting because they're actually trying to work in a leadership-less environment as a community. But no one's putting their hand up and saying, okay, well, this is the backlog, I'll pick this one off, and whoever's interested in it, come and help me with it.
I think the thing for me that it's a little bit perturbing, I don't know if that's the right word, the thing for me that's not driving it, so if you look at Agile, we'll just...
There's a goal.
But if you look at when it was first put in place and when they first did...
There was something tying it all together, right? There was a manifesto.
There was a manifesto. So not only was there a manifesto, the other thing that tied it together was there was a group of individuals who were already out there, who were already well-respected in the communities in their own right, and who were already driving.
But is that not the case for Stoos? Because there are already people that are there that already have their own...
Okay. So who are they?
So it's Steam...
Yes, okay, so...
I'd have to refer the whole list, right?
You actually have to go and look to try and find out.
There were a number of people that, like, even Linda Rising was invited, right, though she didn't attend.
She didn't attend. So this high-profile thing.
Correct.
People.
Lisa Atkins was there.
Yeah. Do we know that? Has that been put out in the community enough? See, I had to go looking for that.
Yeah.
Right? So I'm not saying I didn't know. What I'm saying is I had to go looking for that. So they need to be really getting that out there. So you can think about it when you look at the Coburns and the Cullens and all these guys.
But they weren't doing that 2 weeks after the event, Tony. I mean, we're talking about a month here.
No, and I'm just saying there's a path well beaten that shows that it works. And it's not just Agile either, it's Lean as well, or any of those other ones. So I'm no way saying it. Agile happened like that, because you and I very well know that. We were involved right very, very early on. What I'm saying is there's a beaten path there that Stoos could leverage off, seeing how that was done.
And I think things are quicker these days with social networking. I think probably the pressure is on them way more than it was in Agile in the early days. But I do agree there's nothing to bind them together right now as a whole group. Hello, Craig!
Well, we're just about to finish now, so... Craig!
Hello, folks.
Craig has joined us. He's on the hot seat. You've missed all the quality discussions. Don't worry, I held the flag for you. We're busy in the middle of Stoos.
Stoos.
And we've got a nice...
Silly acronym for a very good idea.
It's not an acronym. It's a place in Switzerland, you tell.
I put in capital letters. What can I say?
Yeah, that's it.
Stewardship of the...
Living.
There is a potential list of what it could stand for.
I was just saying, when I heard that statement, it just didn't work for me. The stewardship of the living versus the machine or whatever it was, management of the machine. I had all these Terminator things pop up in my head, by the way. I just thought I'd tell you that in the song.
So, I must admit, I have sent a post through to LinkedIn in a test to actually find out if there was anything binding, if there was anything that could be agreed to. Basically, I asked the question, if you're going to go into a management group and train them or tell them this is how you should be leading, what's the absolutely foundational, fundamental things they've got to get right first? What sort of principles or practices do they have to do, and how do they go about it? And have a guess how many replies I got.
Zero. LinkedIn zero.
Yeah. But I mean, you know, this is a site that has been quite hot to trot on this juice environment, but nothing back. And it worries me.
Language like hot to trot is probably working against you.
Roxy.
Anyway, so Craig...
Would you like me to go back out again?
Yes, you can.
Please, please.
We have been talking to you.
Yeah, we have. You weren't answering very well.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So would you like to add anything on the Stoos front now that I'm pretty much finished talking about it?
I'm sure. Everything I've learned about Stoos, I've learned from Renee, so therefore I think I'm covered.
Oh,
and you missed my rant.
I still think it's a better acronym than a name of a place, but anyway.
Renee just opened the door, insert rant, Tony went off.
Oh yeah, Tony went off earlier.
Okay. Well, I'll just have to listen back, folks. And if you also fell asleep through that part of the podcast, hit the back button and you can listen to it again and again. That's the beauty of podcasts.
I think I like the invisible Craig better. He did come in with his pants on, for the record.
Oh, crud.
That's a bit of a shame. Well, Craig, do you have anything for us to add? Because we are just about out of time.
Just wondering if you guys had spoken about the version 1 State of Agile survey that had come out.
No, I didn't know that. You want to come out. Tell.
Elucidate whilst we ruminate.
Oh, my God.
So if you talk amongst yourselves while I wait for my...
Do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-
Thank you. So
unscripted.
Yes. So looking through here, there's no real.
There's no shock surprise.
Yeah,
was there a dramatic change for any of the metrics?
No, not really. It's probably just some of the stats. Like for example, when they asked people for the survey what sort of roles they have, 36% were PM, Scrum Masters, and Team Leads, which probably doesn't surprise me for the type of survey because they're probably the type of people that would. So I don't think you can really take too much out of that. The experience with the development practices, so that's all the type of XP practices, is now at 40% of moderately knowledgeable. And I'd have to dig into that one a little bit from the survey to understand what that means, but there's extremely knowledgeable, that's only 28%. So I think this trend is moving upwards.
Of people that are getting it.
But still, I think, there's a little bit to go. It says that it's made the very clear statement now that Agile is not just a fad, that 18% of responses have personally practiced Agile for more than 5 years. So
That's pretty huge.
That's very good. That's.
I don't recall that kind of being said before. So
we might need to do a diff on the survey to see what changed.
I'm not entirely sure whether sometimes it's that thing when you're writing the resume and going, how long have you been doing Agile? Well, I read that book in 2007, so that makes it 5 years. So because this is obviously all from respondents, but still that's quite interesting. 37% were 2 to 5 years. Still 26% were less than 1 year. So there's still lots of early adopters out there.
That's interesting. That statistic matches the number of project managers and Scrum Masters.
Maybe. 80% of people say that their organisations have adopted Agile development practices within software. And the biggest number is about 40%, which is 1 to 2 years. Only 9% are 5+ years. 60% say that more than half of their projects are using Agile. 39% say it's 0 to 25% of their projects. So there's certainly... 27% is the other end, which is 75 to 100%. So lots of organisations are still dabbling in it. They're not all the way, which still begs the question, what are they doing if they're not, if they're not doing it? The initial champions of Agile, still 77% are at the management layer.
Interesting.
That's good, isn't it?
Yeah, that is good.
That is good, but...
not at the CIO layer.
Just says management layer.
That'd be interesting.
There is a whole report that comes behind this. Yeah. I've only got the.
That'd be nice to see that split,
because as we know, you can have it at that middle level, but if you don't have it at the top level, then you don't have the boot to move on a lot of the time.
Yep.
65% say that they have distributed team members working on Agile, so lots of people.
Have to nut that problem out.
Yeah,
I'm not entirely sure really the answer for that yet. And at 52% is still the biggest methodology being used, which is
Scrum.
Yeah, there you go.
That's down. Oh no, what's the combined Scrum XP one? That's 14.
Yeah, 14% is the Scrum
XP
hybrid.
So that's 66. That's down.
How many Scrum
band from last year?
Don't start me on my rating.
Just on the top of my head, 9% down.
And then it goes into a whole bunch more graphs about the breakdown of their adoptions. 59% of respondents say they intend to implement Agile on future projects, so only 8% said no. So obviously, anyone sort of saying the whole thing's dying, it's not.
It's not at all.
That's bucking at the
truth. Curious about the methodology, or not methodology, more framework breakdown. Did they introduce Lean Startup in there at all? Like, what were the extra ones?
Scrolling backwards and forwards on my iPhone.
There never used to be that many pies.
So they do have Kanban, Scrumban, FDD, Extreme Programming, Lean, but no Lean Startup. So I'm not sure where anyone would put that if they were in.
Maybe that 9% went to Scrumban.
Yeah, or maybe Lean, depending on what they thought. Cool. The iteration length, what do you think the...
2 weeks.
33% said iteration of 2 weeks or less.
What are all the others doing?
Yeah, so...
That's interesting.
What?
Yeah.
But maybe some of them are using iteration lists, like Kanban.
Well, interestingly, 6% were at 1 to 7 days, 27% were at 2 weeks, 17% were at 3 weeks, and 9% were at 4 weeks. You add all those up, that only got 100. In fact, that only comes at about 50 to 60%. So
many
either
aren't using iterations.
So they're either using Kanban or they have no idea what's going on.
Mm.
Biggest Agile tool?
version one.
You would think they would be by the
beta. I'd hope so with the survey.
No.
No?
No.
Target process?
No, Microsoft Project.
Oh, really?
Mm. Oh, God.
61%.
Can you hear all the fairies? Can you hear all the fairies dying?
Guys, what the hell are you doing?
Quick, everybody, start clapping.
But interestingly, Jira Greenhopper was the next one at 37%. And then in-house homegrown tools, Google Docs, TFS.
Where's SharePoint?
Quality Center at 22%. Mm. Bugzilla, IBM Rational Concert, ClearCase. Pivotal Tracker was probably the next one of the big ones.
Mingle,
XPlanner is still being used. Target Processor, yeah, all the way down the list.
Really? Team Foundation Server still, really.
Actually, sorry, I read that wrong.
Hang on.
This is the formatting on my iDevice. XL was actually the biggest at 61%.
Oh, yay!
And version 1 was number 2 at 37.
That's much more sensible.
Yeah, Jira 36 and then in-house at 35. Yeah, the graph doesn't quite line up with them. Yes. Anyway, there you go.
Fail.
Anyway, I think this is actually released to everybody now. It sort of had gone out to customers and a few of those things first, but by the time you hear this, it should be available. You can look at the gory detail. It's always a bit of an interesting read.
Awesome.
All right, so before we go, do you want to do any plugs for Agile Australia at all?
Agile Australia, it's the 31st of May in Melbourne, Australia. Go.
Okay. So maybe next podcast, Craig will work on his plug.
We'll talk a little bit more. Hopefully by the next one, you'll know who's speaking and all those sorts of things.
So. Yeah, so I guess the short story is that I was locked in a room with a whole bunch of other agile-like people. What they call agile advisors for that this year. The process was tried to be a lot more transparent than it had been in the past. So. The meeting we're in on Friday was really to take all the comments, all the submissions, and try and take the 160 odd submissions I think we got, which was way up on previous years, and try and fit them into about 50 odd slots for the conference. So a good mix, I think, there. There wasn't too many topics that were lacking. So anyone who submitted will, we'll
find out
about
soon.
That. Either way, I mean, there's obviously, it depends on submissions and whether people go through. There wasn't some cases, a lot of good submissions, a lot in the same type of area. So, some good submissions, obviously, may not have made the cut just because there was other good ones. And in other cases, we tried to accommodate all the, all good speakers. So, for anyone, and it's pretty much gone with, I think the program will be made up of 90% of those submissions that were submitted. There's only a handful of invited speakers, which are the keynotes, and a couple of others that were kind of outside the process. So as things progress, we'll talk more about the program as it comes through. But it's like anything. I've been on these things all the time. People will be upset if their talk doesn't get through. I can say I've been through this a few years with that particular conference. This year it was, in my opinion, extremely fair. Everybody was, because it was all transparent. There were stream leads who were responsible for their part of the program, so they were obviously very focused on their part of the program. There's a couple of people that were looking across the whole program, including myself.
Yeah.
Looking for those trends. But it's like anything, there'll always be people who'll be disappointed and.
Can't make all the people happy all the time, Craig.
That's exactly right.
All right, well, on that note.
And you got to be in it to win it, that's the other thing.
Oh, the cliches are rolling off the tongue. Okay, well, on that note.
If you have
goodbye from me, and it's goodbye from.
Oh, I stepped out again. Sorry, yeah, goodbye from me.
Bye from Renee. If you have any emails, send them through to the podcast at theagilerevolution.com.
And Tony at theagilerevolution.com.
And wearing pants. I mean, Craig at theagilerevolution.com.
Yada, yada.
Yada, yada.
Viva la revolution.
Viva. of a revolution.